The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A new Prime Minister of the United Kingdom could be announced today after Boris Johnson said in a statement last night that he's pulled out of the Conservative leadership contest. Rishi Sunak and Penny Mordaunt are both still in the competition, but with Mordaunt reportedly short of the 100 backers needed, it looks like Rishi Sunak is heading for number 10. Now, joining me to talk about all of this, George Parker, political editor of the Financial Times, and Jeremy Lefroy, former Conservative MP for Stafford. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning.
George, first of all, I just got back from being away at the weekend and I turned on the news last evening and I caught Boris Johnson's statement in full. It was quite remarkable. Now, before I give my judgment on it, perhaps I should ask for yours.
Well, it was along the lines of, the speed read of his statement was, I could have won this contest and I probably would have done, but I'm standing aside in the national interest and in the interest of the Conservative Party. And I think there are a fair number of Conservative MPs and certainly FT readers who, when they read that statement, who don't really believe that was what was behind the Prime Minister's decision. I think the simpler explanation is the reason he pulled out is he didn't have the numbers. He needed to get 100 Tory MPs to endorse him to even enter the contest. He claimed he did have 102 or something, but you know, the published figures suggest that only about 50 people had actually publicly come out to support him. So I think rather than being humiliated at 2 o'clock on Monday, today, when we saw the number of people actually supporting him, he decided to pull out in the nick of time. But I thought this statement was quite ominous for whoever becomes the next Prime Minister, because Boris Johnson made absolutely clear he's not going away.
Yeah, you wonder whether he's delusional or otherwise. I mean, he says quite boldly, I believe I am well placed to deliver a Conservative victory in 2024. And tonight I can confirm that I have cleared the very high hurdle of 102 nominations, including a proposer and a seconder, and I could put my nomination in tomorrow. Like, it is quite extraordinary because he still has to face that parliamentary committee inquiry in terms of his carry-on during COVID. He also believes that the electorate would still be in love with him in spite of everything that happened during COVID.
Yeah, I mean, some people think he is delusional, but he's certainly encouraged in that view by his supporters and by his cheerleaders in the press, who seem to have very short memories about why exactly he resigned in July, or was forced to resign in July. Basically, his standards have fallen miles below the standards anyone could expect from someone holding high public office. And he'd also become massively unpopular with the public. He just lost a by-election by a record margin in a seat in Devon. So the evidence that he's remains highly popular is certainly questionable. But Boris Johnson clearly believes he is the person who can save the party and lead it to victory. So, you know, the fact he's still talking about the possibility he could lead the party into the 2024 election, even though he's just pulled out of the race, sounded to me like a bit of a warning shot to whoever succeeds him that he's waiting in the wings.
The other paragraph which caught my eye, and though I have reached out to both Rishi and Penny because I hoped we could come together in the national interest, we have sadly not been able to work out a way of doing this. Now, I'm trying to parse this and I figure it's, I want to be PM and I'll give you both good jobs. But if you don't do it my way, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to reluctantly stand on the sidelines. And also, I don't have the votes.
Yeah, the deals he was offering to those two people, Rishi Sunak and Penny Mordaunt, were basically on the lines of, fall in behind me, I'm going to be Prime Minister and I'll give you a decent job. And I think if you're Rishi Sunak, looking at the numbers, think, well, hang on a sec, I've got about 150 votes here and you've got 50. Why should I be the one backing down? So, I mean, you know, again, a sort of sign of, you know, the sort of the overwhelming self-confidence of Boris Johnson. Some people might call it arrogance, that even thought those deals were possible. But I thought it was significant in that statement last night that he seemed to be pointing the finger of blame at Penny Mordaunt and Rishi Sunak for not being prepared to do the decent thing in the interest of the unity of the party. So you can see that being a theme that at some point in the future he will try to deploy.
He has demonstrated a sense of entitlement in the past in every aspect of his working and political life. So this is just the latest chapter.
Yes, and but it is the latest chapter in a story which is still being written, I think, because there is this sort of abiding fascination with Boris Johnson, and it's probably not understood. Well, it's hard to hard to understand, I think, for some people, but he does have a kind of charisma which is very unusual in modern politicians in any country. And you see that when I was over in India with him earlier this year when he was prime minister, and the crowds turned out to cheer him. There were posters all over the place. Same in America. You know, he's one of those people who does break the bounds of politics, really, to reach out to ordinary people. So people are fascinated by him, even though, you know, anyone looking at it objectively would say his time as prime minister was an absolute failure. There is still this idea that he could somehow make a comeback at some point in the future.
Now, Jeremy Lefroy is listening to her conversation. Jeremy, what did you think of that late night withdrawal last evening?
Well, I welcomed it. I'd hoped it would come. I wasn't sure it would come, but I think it was the right decision. He clearly saw that he wasn't going to be able to lead a united party, even if he had got the 100 votes and possibly, and indeed probably, won with the membership. So I think it was the right decision.
Do you think, though, that the statement itself was self-serving? I mean, we know that he likes to parallel himself with Winston Churchill, wartime prime minister. He might see his COVID battles as being in a similar vein. And, of course, Churchill was called back from the wilderness to lead a second time. I mean, is that really where he sees himself, that they will, in desperation, coming up to 2024, somehow conspire to bring him back?
Well, I suspect that's in his mind. I mean, clearly, we all hope, for the sake of the country, that the situation is restored. We are in very difficult times at the moment. The people of the United Kingdom, as indeed across Europe, are facing an enormously challenging winter, not nearly as challenging as the Ukrainians, but nevertheless incredibly difficult. And we all hope, for the sake of everybody, that we can get through this. And if we do get through this in reasonable shape, and Rishi Sunak is seen to have been the person to have delivered that, then I think the situation will be very different. However, if things turn out for the worse, and I very, very much hope that that isn't the case, then you can see a situation in which Mr. Johnson would present himself as the person to lead the party into the next election. I suspect there would be quite a lot of support for that, but also quite a lot of opposition.
Within the Conservative Party. Obviously, the polls at the moment favour Labour so much that a general election at this point would not be anything any Conservative MP would desire. The reality, though, I mean, Johnson would promise the earth in order to get elected. Liz Truss tried to promise the earth eventually when the second budget would come about. But, you know, will the public always go for, you know, the promise of goodies tomorrow?
No, I don't think they will. I think the British public will look at what has happened, what is being promised. If you recall, back in 1997, Tony Blair came in on a very small manifesto, as it were. He had five or six promises to the people of the United Kingdom, and he kept very much to the Conservative spending plans from the John Major government, and he won a landslide because people saw this is somebody different and this is somebody who is not promising the earth. So I think anybody who promises the earth at the next election will get short shrift from the electorate.
The problems, I suppose, for Rishi Sunak is that there's not a lot he can give. I mean, it's going to be about battening down the hatches, is it not?
Absolutely, and just ensuring that the country can source the funding it needs to fund the deficit, to get that deficit down, which inevitably is going to mean higher taxes, whether through freezing personal allowances or other means. And it's going to mean restraint on spending, especially given the cost of supporting people with energy throughout this winter and beyond. So I think the message is going to be this is tough. This is a very tough time. And I think people recognise that and will respond to that. What they don't want is promises that quite clearly cannot be kept. They want reality, whether it comes from the Conservative Party or the Labour Party, and both parties have a responsibility at the next election, which I suspect will be sooner rather than later, to confront confront the electorate with the reality, and I think the electorate will respond to that.
Now, what about Rishi Sunak himself? I mean, a very short apprenticeship at the top level in politics, a couple of years as a cabinet minister, only elected to Parliament in 2015. I know in the United States they can elect a president who has no political experience at all. But in the UK, is it unusual? I mean, can we go back and find precedent of someone who served such a short political apprenticeship and gets the top job?
If you look back, John Major had only been in high-level jobs for a couple of years before he became Prime Minister. Clearly, many Prime Ministers have only served as leader of the opposition, like Tony Blair and like David Cameron. So I think there are precedents to this. And of course, if you go back way back in history, you come across people who have been elected at a considerably younger age. What I think is key is that he draws around himself a team of, from across the party, of the best. Because what's happened in the last two cabinets is you have not had the best people in the cabinet. There are plenty of people at sort of ranks lower than cabinet level who are outstanding, but who have never been given a chance. And what I hope is that Rishi will reach across the party and to all those who've perhaps been overlooked because they didn't quite fit in the past and bring them in. Because I think there is the talent there to have a very strong cabinet. We just haven't seen it for the past few years.
Now, what about the ERG, Jacob Rees-Mogg? You know, you've got that fifth column within the party which would like to perhaps do Rishi down, do Penny Morton down, were she to have taken the crown, because they have their own agenda.
Well, they have to think of the national interest, and I mean the real national interest, which means not necessarily what they think it always to be, or indeed what I think it's and other people think it to be, and that is stability, and that is working for the people of the country who've already seen their cost of living increase in food, in interest rates, in fuel. They have to realise that, and they're all, the one thing about representative democracy is they're all members of Parliament representing constituencies. They hold surgeries every week. They hear week on week from people who are really having to come to grips with this situation. So they should listen to their constituents if they want to get re-elected. And that means getting behind a united government, almost a kind of quasi-national government even you might say national government within the Conservative Party, that actually gets to grips with the problems that really matter to people, schools, the health service, and the cost of living. And, of course, dealing with the Ukraine crisis and other crises across the world. Let's not forget the terrible situation in Tigray at the moment, and indeed in Yemen, which seemed to have completely fallen off the newspaper headlines.
Well, on that note, Jeremy, thank you very much for joining us. Jeremy Lefroy, former Conservative MP for Stafford. George Park is still listening to the conversation. George, the question of Boris lying in wait, I mean, Boris is not involved now, says a texter. Tell Pat Kenny to move on, please. Yet another texter saying, I wouldn't bet against Boris Johnson in 2024. Look at the last couple of years. Anything is possible, says Hugh. John in Dublin, let the UK troubles be a warning to any populist government that might be elected here on promises of goodies to be given out. The question of Boris Johnson's tactics, I mean, is it true that he backed Liz Truss when she became when she went to the country rather than Rishi? He had his fallout with Rishi, of course, who decided that he could no longer serve. But knowing that Liz Truss was weak and would surely go in short order.
Well, that's certainly one theory. And I think lots of people who'd worked with Liz Truss in government could foresee what might happen. So the idea that, that's certainly one theory in doing the rounds. And you wouldn't put it past Boris Johnson. I just think, in terms of this question about, he's gone now. He does say in this statement last night that the time is not right. I mean, plainly, he thinks there will be a time when it will be right. First of all, he's got to face this parliamentary inquiry, of course, into whether he lied to MPs, which is quite a serious thing. And if he's found guilty, the parliament will vote on suspending him. And if he's suspended from parliament, there could be a by-election in his constituency. So he could be out of parliament within a few months. So the whole soap opera hasn't finished yet. But no doubt he would then, that will give him time to find another safe seat to fight. And no doubt we'll be going through this whole psychodrama again in a couple of years' time.
George, thank you very much for joining us. George Parker, political editor with The Financial Times.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Times.